Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Chris Christie on drums there. Christie's out. Christie's out in New Jersey, but is the door open here? There's a curious and familiar political storm gathering in the presidential race with the nine remaining GOP candidates. An incumbent on the defensive, whose passionate supporters are uneasy these days, while a challenger field looks crowded and less than credible, and with no real consensus on a frontrunner, is a cue in American politics for the renegade to come from out of nowhere and reshuffle the deck. Herman Cain's sudden success as a businessman maverick within the GOP starts to look a lot like some political insurgencies of the past. There was independent John Anderson in 1980, whose sudden popularity after Teddy Kennedy got out of the race sank incumbent Jimmy Carter and opened the door for Ronald Reagan. But the mother of all insurgents back in 1992 was this man.
We cannot pay off the $4 trillion debt, balance the budget, and have the industries of the future and the high-paying jobs in this country without having the revenue. We're going to go through a period of shared sacrifice.
I can almost hear him saying, you know what I'm talking about, Larry? Ross Perot there, billionaire, outsider, straight shooter, friend of Larry King, and the man most responsible for giving Bill Clinton a chance at the White House and denying George H.W. Bush a second term. Of course, Bush helped with famous gaffes like read my lips, no more taxes, but we're still feeling the effects of Perot's legacy in today's presidential politics. Joining us now, as she usually does with a big political idea, is Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC. So, Perot's ideas and dynamics alive and well in American politics in 2011?
Well, yes, you just heard, calling for shared sacrifice, calling for both revenues and addressing the debt. Those things are you're hearing more and more in this 2012 campaign. But it's important to look back at just how Ross Perot kind of got into this race. You mentioned their Larry King appearance. That was actually in February 1992. So if we were thinking, I mean, so
it was and then after he the jumped caucuses.
In after the caucuses, after the New Hampshire primary, and then Ross Perot goes on Larry King. Phones rang off the hook in his Texas headquarters, and he gets into the race, then drops out, then gets back in the race in October, right before the 92 election. Got 19% of the vote, of course. At one point, led in the polls over George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton during the summer of 1992. But I think what is most important to look at in Ross Perot is what he was able to do in claiming ground in the debate that was unique to him alone. I think that's what was key
this
to his success.
Independent, do it a different way, politics as usual, forget about that. He claimed that territory.
Well, there was that bit, I'm not Bill Clinton, I'm not George H.W. Bush, but he also had a policy that was his alone, and that was first he was trying to run on political reform, campaign reform,
right.
But they had to adjust slightly. This is Jim Squires, Ross Perot's press secretary at the time.
And we were just trying to change the system. Well, we didn't. That issue got no traction. None. No one cared about campaign reform. No matter what we said and did, we couldn't get people interested in it. So we had this other issue, which was the deficit and the gridlock. And so it didn't take us long to switch over to gridlock.
That's Jim Squires.
Jim Squires.
What a blast from the past. So he came up with the charts and everything that Perot did?
There were the Perot charts, of course, which were looking at money in, money out. But again, the Perot's platform was three-pronged: campaign reform, economic nationalism, protecting American jobs, and then debt and deficit. It was the debt and deficit issue where they really found that they got traction and where a lot of their support came from,
and
because the other candidates weren't addressing that issue.
It was very specific. It was in a tone of, you know, I'm a straight shooter. You can believe what I have to say. And, of course, it was running against Washington, which was a tradition that had gone on for quite a while. What do people say today about the opportunity for an independent to get into this race?
Well, that what you hear today is, look, people aren't happy with Barack Obama. People aren't happy with the Republican field. So maybe that means an independent candidate could be successful. But Ross Perot shows that that's not enough. You've got to be able to carve out areas that's yours alone. You can't just say, these guys aren't doing it, come vote for me. Because deciding to vote for a third-party candidate is saying, you know what, you have to get over that hump of, am I going to throw my vote away? So there has to be a sense that it doesn't matter if the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate wins, that they're enough alike that you want to put your vote for this independent candidate. So you also have, of course, now more and more voters who are unaffiliated, who aren't members of the Republican and the Democratic Party, who are independent. So that helps. But again, it comes back to who is the candidate going to be and what are they running on and why is that space vacant in the political discourse?
There's a dual dynamic here. I mean, yes, Ross Perot created this tradition where there are more and more people who like to say, I'm unaffiliated, I'm an independent, I'm not associated with these parties, I'm looking for a straight shooter. But Ross Perot, who got out of the race, we should remember, and basically gave the race to Bill Clinton, who won without a majority of the vote, you know, basically reinforced this idea that you're going to throw your vote away. The hump that remains for the independent candidate is to actually win.
Exactly. So if you're asking, can an independent candidate succeed, it depends on what you're saying you really want to do. Even Jim Squires told me that Ross Perot never wanted to be president. He wanted to affect the debate. So if that's the measure, he certainly did. You had the Contract with America in 1994. You had Bill Clinton bringing on Perot economic advisors. And so you can see Perot's long tail through the 90s and even through the 2000s. However, if you're saying you want to be an independent candidate and you want to get to the White House, that's a whole different thing.
All right. So you say Contract with America came directly out of Perot. Clinton's sort of centrism came directly out of Perot. Does the Tea Party come directly out of Perot?
Well, that's what's interesting, because I talked to folks who work with the Perot campaign about the Tea Party, and they are trying to hold it very far away and say this is not Ross Perot's legacy. They say Ross Perot was a patriot. Ross Perot believed in paying taxes. Ross Perot thought it was a privilege to pay taxes in this country, but he did talk about the debt, the deficit, the sort of power of the Washington elite. And so in those threads, you hear in the Tea Party.
Easy for a billionaire to say.
But Ross Perot did talk about taxes a lot.
All right, before we go, Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, does he look like a character here? Herm Cain, businessman from the outside. I mean, he's within the GOP. He feels a little independent. Ron Paul, is that the inheritor of this Ross Perot business?
There are all sorts of people that whose names get tossed out. There's also that Americans Elect effort that actually a Perot advisor, Morton Meyerson, who worked with Perot in Texas, is on the advisory committee of that, which is to nominate through the internet a different candidate. But again, you have all these names, so you've got to have a compelling personality, but you got to have a platform. It's not just enough to say the people in the field aren't doing it, come vote for me.
Wasn't Perot the one who said the great sucking sound?
He did.
Well, with Christie out of the race, there is a vacuum, and there
really?
May be a sucking sound
Herman
who
Cain
might bring somebody into the race.
To you, John.
Herman Cain may be listening to me. Oh, well, somebody ought to. Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer WNYC, Lessons from Ross Perot. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.